Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the final show of 2018 here on a Sunday. Real fast, before we jump into things, if you're looking for wrestling here in our neck of the woods, you have PNPW over in Astoria, Oregon. Also, Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, like usual, where you can find me later today. You can pick up a Sound Guy t-shirt today. Just come by the gimmick table, pay your money, and you will have it. And also, tomorrow, Wrestle Club at the State Capitol for their annual potato drop show. It's going to be cold, so dress warmly and go watch some people wrestle in next to nothing outside. Should be a great time there at Wrestle Club. Without further ado, I would like to bring on our guest today, Polynesian Headhunter. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Now, to start you off, our co-host Dimitri is with us, and I'm sure Dimitri's got quite a few questions. So, D, take it away.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How are you doing today, Polynesian Headhunter?
I'm blessed, sir. How are you today?
Doing great. Said things looking good, getting ready to get up a new year, and it looked like been watching you, and it looked like 2018 been a good year for you up here in the Pacific Northwest on the wrestling scene.
It has. It really has. A pretty fast push I got here. I was not expecting that coming into the scene. I was supposed to finish out the year as a valet and kind of bodyguard for Frankie Flawless. But when Frankie went down, I guess, you know, the show still had to go, and Frankie gave me his blessing and pushed me as well.
Man, that is great, because, like, as soon as I saw you in the scene, I was like, man, who's this cat? And, like, say, just seeing you just going through from far off to Spokane to up to Bremerton, just ripping off the scene and blazing a trail. And then notice, it looked like you have a style besides strong style, like you had some kind of MMA background or something like that. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct. I have about 13 years total invested in jiu-jitsu and kickboxing, training with my family as well, and about 6 years total in MMA.
Oh, wow. Was that focused around the Pacific Northwest area, or did you fight anywhere else before here, or did you live anywhere else before here, or was it always here in Washington?
No, it was not always here in Washington. I fought in Arizona and New Mexico, in Mexico, Texas, Southern California, and also here in Washington and Idaho.
Wow. What weight class did you fight in?
I fought heavyweight, cruiserweight as well, which is in MMA, it's in between light heavyweight and heavyweight. They call it 206 pounds to 225 pounds. I also went up in weight to fight super heavyweights one time, and I don't think I'll ever try and do that one again. That one gassed me out. Those are some big boys, especially when you get to grappling and they get to lay on you.
Oh, most of that's all about to ask, how much were you outweighed by in the super heavyweight match then?
I came in at 266 pounds, and he was generous enough to come in at just barely under, well, when we weighed in the night before, he weighed in at 299.9 something pounds. So I'm sure the next day he was well over 300.
Oh yeah, after the weigh-in, time to get some food, get rehydrated.
Oh yeah. Most,
wow. Have you ever did any grappling tournaments also along to help round out with your MMA?
Yes, most definitely. I did a few Naga tournaments here and there, and a lot of grappling tournaments and submission events within Arizona, training under my uncle.
Goodness. So how much of an influence have the mixed martial arts brought along for you for professional wrestling?
It's hugely, hugely. You know, I try and use a lot of my grappling as well, you know, mixed in with the strong style. And soon here, very, very soon, you will be seeing submissions being thrown on in the ring.
And talking about weight classes, when you say cruiserweight, it makes me think, I wish some of the bigger promotions around the world I know some of them do it, but like, especially in the main one, UFC, do you think the division for them would be a better way if they just actually had the heavyweight split up and put the cruiserweight from 205 to 225 and then have heavyweights for 226 and above?
You know, that is a well talked about and argued fact in the MMA community. A lot of people would like that. But then again, you have to look at the roster that you have. Are you going to have enough people in that roster, you know, to fill that weight class that you're having, you know, because then you're going to have, like, some of these superstars that you have in heavyweight that are already dominating, being like, okay, well, let me go ahead and try and drop this other weight and come down to 225, and then what are you left with in the other heavyweight, you know, divisions? So, you know, as a former promoter myself, and fighting for some of these promotions, these are some of the things that are argued with having the cruiserweight division implemented.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that because, like, so besides following professional wrestling, I also like following MMA. And I noticed, especially with that, with the weight, especially in some of the localized areas, because you'll see some fights where a guy that's like 220 pounds going up against 265, and that's when I
exactly.
think my mind or other people, this would be a perfect time to, you know, because there's some times where some heavyweights can't get matched properly because either some can't make weight or there's not proper matching or experience for that. Have you ever had any of those difficulties along the way while fighting?
Yeah, most definitely. I actually turned down a fight because a guy came in to fight me at heavyweight at a time where I was 255 pounds and the kid was only 215 pounds. And I'm like, come on, are you serious? You know, and no, and you know, and then finding out that this kid's background is in kickboxing and really doesn't have a grappling background. Okay, man, if I get my hands on you and I lay on you on the ground, you're done. Just due to pure weight. So, I mean, I didn't feel right as a professional athlete to subject that man to that type of whooping. I mean, it just wasn't fair to him.
Most definitely. Definitely understand. I'm not trying to take too much time from my other co-hosts. I just wanted to come on here and ask these few questions because, like I said, the past few months watching you has been cool. And like I said, 2018 has been great, and I can't wait to see what you have the more for the wrestling ring in 2019 in the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you, Dimitri. It's been awesome working with you as well, and I look forward to 2019 with you.
All right. So I'll pass it back to the main host, SG.
Thank you, Dimitri. Well, Mr. Headhunter, one of the things that in our business has been long established and has been around since the dawn of wrestling is the advent of Polynesian wrestlers. There's been a rich history throughout our business of really fantastic Polynesian professional wrestlers. When you look at the history of that aspect of the business, where do you see yourself eventually getting to as far as that type of lineage with all the great Polynesian wrestlers?
As far as where I see myself, man, that's real high. I honestly wouldn't even think about putting myself on a pedestal like that with some of the great Polynesian wrestlers that have paved the way for wrestlers like myself. Honestly, it's just an honor to even be talked about with them in the same conversation. I have nothing but the utmost respect for each and every one of these guys that paved the way for young and up-and-comers like myself. Just the other day, a friend of mine, Tommy, the board, asked me if I had the opportunity to wrestle The Rock or Roman Reigns, who would I choose? And I can only choose one, you know. And my answer to that was, you know, no disrespect to Joe on the Y, Roman Reigns, but I think Joe would answer the exact same way. I would choose to wrestle DJ, Dwayne. You know, the things that Dwayne has done for our people, our culture, in this business, you know, a lot of people are more willing to accept the Polynesians into the business because of things like Dwayne, Afa, Zika, you know, even Joe Roman, you know, and the other greats like Jimmy Snuka, you know, that have done for this business. A lot of people are more accepting to our culture and our people now.
And when you look at the current landscape of things, you mentioned The Rock, you mentioned, of course, Roman Reigns. There's a lot of Polynesian wrestlers out there. The Usos are out there. Some of them are actually in what might be the most successful faction ever in professional wrestling, the Bullet Club. You have guys like Haku and his sons that are actually part of the Bullet Club. What's it like knowing that the Polynesian wrestlers are still getting out there and they're really in some of the top spots in this whole industry?
Yeah, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, you know, all those guys, man. It really drives me and pushes me to want to do more with this. It really helps light a fire under me because it sees how much my people are still pushing and we're going, you know, far in this business, and how not just that, but the love and the respect and the way that we're accepted. Whether we're heel, whether we're face, you know, we're loved out there, and that's what drives me to do it more.
Now, one of the things in professional wrestling right now that is also red hot is Ring of Honor. They're getting bigger and bigger. They have sold out Madison Square Garden for a show that's months away. Their television is red hot right now. A lot of Ring of Honor talent has passed through the Pacific Northwest, and they've been on shows with you. What's it like seeing some of this Ring of Honor talent coming through our neck of the woods and getting to work on shows with them.
Oh, man, it is awesome. You know, I tell my family and my friends a lot, you know, when I see some of the guys that go on to the next level, I was like, man, I trained with this person or I wrestled with this person on a show. You know, I get goosebumps, you know, when I see that, because it's just it lets me know, just keep pushing, keep driving, because you were there with them. You know, you can make it too. Even if I don't make it, you know, I love this business. You know, this is a huge, huge outlet for me as well. You know, I love the camaraderie that I get. I love the physicalness behind it. I love that this business is my second family.
Obviously, you've been in a locker room with a lot of really intelligent people, people that really know the wrestling industry. When you look at who you've shared a locker room with and who you've discussed wrestling with over the last couple of years, who would you say are some of the best minds for wrestling that you've come across?
Are you speaking in terms of like the Pacific Northwest or overall?
Just overall, who are some of the best minds out there that are in this business?
Wow, there's actually quite a few, you know, that have actually stuck out in my mind and really, really helped me out along the way. And to be 100% honest with you, a guy from Utah who wrestles locally around here, Adam Reyes, I got the utmost respect for that man. You know, after every single match, you know, Adam holds no punches with me. He comes straight up to me. He tells me everything that I did wrong, and he tells me everything that I did right, and then he gives me a hug, and he says, let's go back to the drawing board and get this thing going. You know, other guys will definitely blow smoke up your butt and be like, oh, hey, great, 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 great. Guys like Adam drive me to want to do better, drive me want to do more, to the point to where when I'm on shows with him, I will ask Adam, hey, can you watch my match for me and critique it? You know, not a lot of people are okay with guys telling him, hey, you did this wrong or you could have done this better. But things like that help drive me to better my craft. So if you're listening, Adam Reyes, thank you very much. Much respect to you.
One of the more often overlooked aspects of professional wrestling, which fans may not grasp the true importance of it, promoters sometimes don't grasp the true importance of it, but refereeing is an essential part of a successful wrestling show. The correct referee can make a difference between a really horrible match and a passable match, and vice versa. Who are some of the better referees that you've come across so far?
Well, most definitely one of the best referees that I've had in the Pacific Northwest, of course, is the Sign Guy.
Thank you.
Sign Guy is one of the great referees around here. Another great referee who I loved working with and who made her way on into the WWE, you know, Girl Hebner, you know, plug her. She's doing her thing. You know, there are a lot of great referees out here. Julio up in Spokane is also great. You know, Christian also, you know, a young up-and-coming referee also out of Spokane, also training to wrestle. You know, he's a great kid as well. You know, Christian, what I love about this kid is he does every single seminar with the wrestlers. Even though he's a referee, he loves the business. He's wanting to learn. You know, he wants not just – he doesn't want to just learn the referee. He wants to also know what the wrestlers are experiencing in there in the ring while he's reffing as well. So this kid is going to go far, man. Watch him.
Absolutely, and I will point out, like I normally do, Girl Hebner is quite good. Well, we have a game that we like to play on this show. We call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in locker rooms, and the first word that pops into your head to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Well, yes, let's go for it.
All right, here we go. Sunny days.
Sunny days. Bubbly. Very bubbly.
J.D. Mason.
Driven. Very driven.
Dayafullo Dabashi.
Showman. He is definitely a showman.
Darth Carter.
I'm sorry, who?
Darth Carter.
That's a tough one.
Usually I come up with idiot because that guy, oh, he's a born on my side.
Yeah, I don't like to play. I don't like to say anything mean about people, but that's a tough one.
All right, the next one, Samantha Sims.
Samantha Sims, hungry. She's very hungry. She's up and coming and wanting to, and she's wanting more. She's driven as well, but hungry.
Goblin.
Wow. Goblin is a hard worker, man. He's another one that's driven as well. He's another one that is going to make huge waves in FWF coming 2019. Keep an eye out for him. Goblin is awesome.
Sonny O'Mara.
Oh, that guy talks too much. No, just kidding. Sonny's great, man. Sonny is definitely one of the first guys that welcomed me into this business. Supportive. Sonny's very supportive.
Travis Mayhem.
Travis is well on his way to be future leader in the Pacific Northwest for wrestling. He is driven, he is business-minded, and he is totally against the politics and wants to help make professional wrestling great again in the Pacific Northwest.
Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, man, Sully, he is a great. I mean, what can you say about him? The man's, he's been to the top of the business. He's worked with some of the best, and the fact that he's even involved with the Pacific Northwest, you know, he and his nephew Ron Von Hess helping all of us out is a huge, huge blessing to any one of us that is graced with his presence.
And the last name, Frankie Sky.
Frankie Sky / Frankie Flawless. This man helped bring me out of the rut back into the ring. I owe him a lot. He's great, man. The fact that he supported me when he had his injury really means a lot, and I can't wait until he gets back healthy and comes back into the ring.
Well, at this point, our co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has questions, so if this helps you, I pass things along to him for a bit.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Mr. Headhunter.
Hello.
Mr. Headhunter, I'd like to continue our word association, if I might, with one entrant. May I continue with Sungai's word association?
Sure, go ahead.
How about Jackson Price?
The giant, Jackson Price. He is definitely a force, and I wish him well on his recovery, a speedy recovery. Don't rush back, man. The ring and us will always be here waiting for you, but he is going to be a huge force to reckon with in the upcoming future, not just locally, but he is going to be branching out as well. Watch out for him.
Now, I'm not sure what it is with the Polynesian culture, but now you usually don't associate too often men that are 7 foot in height with a Polynesian culture. usually, the Polynesian people are a little bit more stout. What did you think when you first laid eyes on Jackson Price? Was that the first 7 footer you had ever seen? 7 footer.
No, actually, I trained with a 7'2" giant named Kanaka, a big Hawaiian Samoan guy. That was actually the first person who I've seen that was over 7 foot tall. And taking choke slams from that guy during training was not fun.
My gosh. A choke slam from him, you must have been up about the 6 foot in height, because he would probably have you up near his shoulders. That's 6 foot.
Yeah, well,
is a long drop to the finger.
Yeah, well, I'm 6'2" myself, so when he had me up in the position to be choke slam, I literally, my chest would have been probably over a basketball rim.
My gosh, truly amazing. I myself, QT Vokes, could probably survive a choke slam by Hornswoggle, but that might be about it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
A Hornswoggle choke slam. Now, speaking of Hornswoggle, is it true that he has Polynesian blood in him? That's what I heard.
Oh, wow. This is the first I'm hearing of that. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that one. Then again, we were also told he was Vince McMahon's illegitimate son, so.
that's true, yes. I don't know who I heard it from, but I heard he's a mixture of Irish and Polynesian. Yes.
Wow, that actually almost sounds like my children.
Whoa. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Three of my children, their mother is Native American and Irish.
Oh, wow. Can I ask what tribe of Native American she's from? Maybe the Sioux or Pawnee or maybe Choctaw?
Blackfoot.
Oh, Blackfoot, okay. Well, Blackfoot, yeah. Very good. Ooh, all right. Well, Mr. Headhunter, I saw your YouTube video entitled Polynesian Headhunter, WUW Wrestling, Case of the Mayhem, and you were wrestling Ron Von Hess. Do you remember if this match took place 2 weeks before Thanksgiving?
I wrestled Von Hess twice. which match are you referring to? I believe one of them, yes, was right before Thanksgiving.
Well, okay, yeah, right around November 11th. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, now the match, at least early on, showed promise to be one of good sportsmanship, as there were several clean breaks early in the match, as were called for by the ref. However, at the 11-minute and 50-second mark of this match, that took place in November, following the ref's call to break in the corner, Ron Von Hess slapped you in the face. And you could hear the announcer say, that will do a lot of damage, but it will make that won't do a lot of damage, but it will make a mad man mad. Do you recall that moment?
I do recall that moment, yes. Very
yes,
much so.
Why do you think a sudden change of attitude in that match where, several clean breaks by Ron Von Hess, and then he decides to back you in the corner and slap you? To me, that seems like he's starting to get frustrated and lose his game plan.
That, and probably due to some of the things I was saying to him as well.
Oh, now were you kind of saying something like on the lines of Muhammad Ali when he would taunt his opponent in the ring and throw him off the game plan?
Very much so. That was the instructions I got from Samantha Sims to play mind games with Mr. Von Hess.
Oh, wow. All right. Were you talking to him in your Polynesian tongue, our dialect, at that point?
Very much so, back and forth with English as well. And then I even made a joke to him as far as when we locked up, maybe you need subtitles, old man. I don't think he liked
that. Wow. Okay, now do you think that this talk that seemed to slightly enrage Ron Von Hess would have the same effect on that Northwest icon, Darth Carter?
You know, I think every match has a different game plan, but I definitely think that, yes, I can say quite a few things that can get under the skin.
Well, I think it's safe to say a lot of people in the Northwest are slightly, they don't quite understand what Darth Carter's game plan is. Yes.
Yes. It's a difficult one to grasp as well. But at the same time, I can play games just as well as other people can.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Headhunter, I was surprised at the effectiveness of a Ron Von Hess clothesline at the 6:50 mark, and he had several in the match. Were you surprised at the strength of this Ron Von Hess clothesline?
I will say this much. That old man still packs quite a punch. Was I surprised? Yes, very much so. In the future, I will never, ever underestimate him again.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Headhunter, in that video, you missed a stinger splash on Ron at the 10-minute and 5-second mark when Ron was backed into the corner. Would Sting himself a big influence on you growing up? Sting.
Yes, love Sting, very much so. That splash that I use is more so kind of tribute to Tama Tonga from Gorillas of Destiny, but I try and turn my body sideways a little bit to not make it seem like I'm doing the exact same thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Headhunter, you mentioned several Polynesian wrestlers to Sangai. Did you ever have a chance to meet Umanga?
funny thing is, I am actually related directly to the Fatu family. So Eddie is actually family of mine. But if I did meet Eddie, it was when I was a kid, and I do not vaguely remember. No.
Oh, okay. To your knowledge, is he the only Polynesian wrestler to appear in the ring with the then future president, Donald Trump?
To my knowledge, yes. I don't like to play politics, but there are some people in the family that wasn't too happy about that one.
Whoa, okay. Boy, all right. Well, you also mentioned the Stein guy, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He played football at the University of Miami. Did you yourself play football, maybe in high school?
Yes, I did. Grew up playing football. I mean, what Polynesian kids don't really? Football, rugby. I think the only thing I didn't do up here was cricket. But, yes, actually did. I was actually All-Westco, first-team All-Westco defensive end in high school. I also played a few years in the minor leagues and some of the smaller pro leagues as well.
Wow, all right. Who was your favorite Polynesian rugby club growing up?
You know, we always seem to watch the Blacks, always the Blacks, Samoa, you know, and Fiji was also a top one that my grandpa used to watch with us as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Is there an equivalent of a Yankee Stadium in the Polynesian island chain? A Yankee Stadium for rugby?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well, now mentioning Dwayne Johnson, at one point in his career, he played guitar in the ring and sang a song about the redneck Cold Stone Steve Austin. Can you see yourself playing guitar in the ring at La Problemitas and singing a song to Ron Von Hess?
I'm not that great of a guitar player, especially not like DJ, maybe a little bit on the ukulele. But most definitely, I can definitely see myself doing something like that in the near future.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe you could get together with Sign Guy and line that up. I would pay big money to see the Polynesian headhunter play the ukulele and sing Ron Von Hess a song. That would make him mad.
You know what? I'm going to start working on that one. We apparently, all of Bremerton would like to hear that as well.
Now, may I suggest that you practice the song from the super 80s group, A Flock of Seagulls, and their hit song, I Ran So Far Away, for Ron Von Hess?
I will definitely keep that in mind and see if I can do something with that.
Well, okay. I think the only thing you would need would be like a Flock of Seagulls haircut, like their lead singer had. That would be great.
We'll see if the hair can do something.
Okay. All right. Okay. You know, you may have to buy a wig, you know, and make an investment like that. But, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Headhunter, is there a name for your cheering contingent that follows you to cheer you on, and they often stand near the ring apron? Is there a name for your following?
The Headhunter Club.
Oh, okay. Headhunter Club. Okay. Now, Mr. Headhunter,
they are actually doing a design right now themselves to make for T-shirts, calling themselves the Headhunter Club.
Oh, wow. Okay, do you see in the future maybe a Polynesian Headhunter fan club in which children, say, like 7 years of age and under could be an official Headhunter fan club?
That would be awesome, actually. I honestly didn't think about that other than some of my nieces and nephews who are fans now. I haven't really thought about that young just due to the sport and sometimes the violence in the sport. But I can't see that in the near future on some of the shows where we are not as violent. But that would be awesome. Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe let's extend that to eight and under. Yes.
Yes, yes. Some of the things that we do in the ring, I get a little bit worried about some of the younger kids being overly influenced.
Oh, okay. Yes. And I don't know. I there would be a chance, an outside chance, that I think if Darth Carta himself could wear a disguise, he could pass as a child, eight and under, a big kid. And I could see Darth Carta becoming an official Polynesian Headhunter Club member.
That's funny, but yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Polynesian, were you recently, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, if you were recently at the Tea House in Marysville, Washington, for one of their cards up there? And if you were, who did you wrestle?
That would be the CPW card, Combat Pro Wrestling, with Yvonne Sieber. Yes, I was up there. And I tag-teamed against Debashi and Steve Miggs. Also, who else was it? Brody Adams and Chris Marks as well. So it was a big tag team match.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if the rumor is true that Defola Debashi stepped from the ring, went over to a lady, grabbed the pizza off her plate, took a bite, and replaced the pizza on her plate? Are those rumors true?
You know, I heard about that, but I cannot physically say that I saw it happen. I was more involved in the match and watching what was going on. But when the match was over, yeah, I heard about that, and I kind of chuckled. And I don't know. I didn't physically see it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I wouldn't put it past him, though. That guy, like, he is a showman, I tell you, that guy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Headhunter, did you have a chance to look out in the crowd and see the llama? He was a huge hit with the crowd, even though he did not wrestle. And at various times, you could hear the chants, llama, llama.
Yeah, I believe the chant was actually Sexy Llama.
Oh, yes, Sexy Llama, yes.
Yes, I do remember.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Mr. Polynesian, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil try to publish a Northwest wrestler weekly rankings, ranking 9 7/8 Northwest wrestlers, and a lot of wrestlers in the Northwest, including Ron Von Hess, has and Sunny Days, have received the coveted number one ranking, and thus the weekly award of the fruit pie. How big would it be to yourself if the Polynesian headhunter would receive the number one Northwest Turnbuckle Turmoil wrestler ranking and thus be awarded a fruit pie, the coveted fruit pie?
Oh, man, that would be a huge blessing and honor that the people of the Pacific Northwest would even consider me just to even be talked about in that category, let alone even win it.
Oh, well, now I hear that CPW is going to be returning to the Tea House, and based upon your performance at the Tea House, you might be in the running based on how you do for that coveted fruit pie, so that could give you motivation.
That is, wow, that is awesome. I will definitely keep that in the back of my mind during the rest of these matches. That fruit pie would be a great trophy to put on the mantle with the rest of accomplishments.
Oh, okay.
Well, guys, we have
all
another
right.
caller on the line, so let's bring them on, see if they have a question. Do we got the caller from the 360?
One of the highest-ranking wrestlers.
Uh-huh, I believe it's our boss.
Hello?
You're on.
I can't hear
Hello?
You.
Hello?
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 Yeah. Hello? Hey, baby.
Oh.
Hi. Hello?
You should say hi to Headhunter.
Hi, Headhunter. What's going on, baby? We love you and the matches.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate all the fans out there.
Hi,
you guys are why I do what I do.
Hi, Headhunter.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What?
Right on.
When is your next match?
My next match will be January 5th, Saturday, in Bremerton.
Okay, I'm coming.
You are? Right on.
Yes.
I can't wait to have you guys there and cheering me on. Make sure you guys are front row so I can come by and high-five every one of you.
What's up, Head?
All right, well, it sounds like you're very popular today.
How you doing today, Head? Ready for your next match? I'm coming.
Hey, thank you.
Bringing the whole crew.
Right on. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye. Tell them bye. Bye, baby. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks for calling.
You're
See
welcome.
You guys at the next show.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Headhunter, we got a few minutes left today in the show, and I want to give you plenty of time. So if there's anything at all you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you got, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite seafood restaurant, anything it is, floor is all yours.
As far as, like I said, earlier on the call, my next match will be in the WUW January 5th, Saturday in Bremerton. I think I'm set to face Sean Angel, Rookie of the Year. As far as that goes, come out. It will be also a cross-promotion show with the FWF. Our FWF Puget Sound title will be up between Ron Von Hess and Austin. So you guys definitely will not want to miss that. As well as our FWF show, we should be hearing in the next day or so whether the date is going to be locked down for February 22nd or not. But keep your ear to the ground, and we will definitely be promoting that as well. Other than that,
keep an eye out. Headhunter will be at some of your next up and coming shows, some of the new shows that are popping up. I'm getting messages for these shows as well. It's been awesome wrestling here in the Pacific Northwest. I love it here. It is great. I am on board to make professional wrestling great again here in the Pacific Northwest.
Polynesian Headhunter, it's been an absolute delight having you here on with us today. We're definitely going to have you back on, and best of luck to you as you continue upward and onward here in the Pacific Northwest. You're off to a great start, and I'm sure I will see you in a locker room very soon.
Thank you very much. I would love to come on again. It's been an honor, guys, and I will definitely see you guys soon.
All right, fans, if you've not seen the Polynesian Headhunter in action, definitely buy yourself a ticket. Come see what he is all about. Pick up a shirt or whatever he has at his gimmick table. Support him. You can find me later in Portland. You can buy my shirt at the gimmick table right there at Blue Collar. And we will be back with you in 2019. We'll be back with you next Friday. Steve Shives is going to be with us on the show. Should be absolutely delightful with him. And a week from today, someone I know very well, Dale Patricks will be on with us, one of the most underrated performers you're ever going to find. So make plans for 2019 to be right back here with us on Turnbuckle Turmoil, and we'll talk to you then.
Live the letter.